This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Check it out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Slam follow Rudy Gobert. What a game for Rue.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the horn sounds here in LA, and the Timberwolves close out the series in five games.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You don't know what the roster will look like next year.
Today's guests: Colts general manager Chris Ballard, three-time Pro Bowl quarterback Alex Smith, Rams general manager Les Snead, actor Patricia Clarkson, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on this radio affiliate smart enough to have us on the Infinity Sports Network and Sirius XM Channel 375. Everybody listening and streaming in on Odyssey, we say hello to you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got another two NFL general manager guest show day. Yesterday, it was Howie Roseman of the Eagles, and it was Jason Light of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Today, it is Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts, who says he will come on anytime we ask, and he's a man of his word, because last year he said if six quarterbacks go in the first 15 picks of the draft, that means we get the guy that we want. So if that happens, if you can make that happen, we made it happen. He said he'll come on the show anytime. That's exactly what's happening today.
Man of his word.
And and I manifested Tyler Warren dropping to him at 14, so he knew that in the ether. He may not know it. I'll tell him when he joins us in 20 minutes time. And then Les Snead will join us, and just in this, of the Rams. And just like yesterday that Howie Roseman led into Tia Carrere, today Les Snead leads into Patricia Clarkson.
Who else is doing it like this?
We'll talk the Untouchables. We'll talk Jumanji. Just to name two.
She was Mila's mom and Friends with Benefits.
Right. Friends with Benefits. We've got actually that's one of the subject matters in our celebrity true or false later on. You might not know about this.
I probably
don't. If it's true. that's later on. And Alex Smith joins us in the middle of the program.
Hey.
And you, 844-204-RICH, number dial. Good to see you, Chris. How are you? Chris Brockman.
Rich, the JBEX Zero says, I'm a little surprised the Browns didn't make Rich's top 10 with
steal
they got in Shador.
Okay.
I love it.
Good to see you over there, Mike. Thanks for that information, Chris.
Rich,
no problem.
That's the 10 seconds I'm never going to get back.
No problem. Good morning, Rich. If your battery's good, then I have new ones.
Well, there's 700 comments if you want me to
read
some more.
What's up, TJ? How are you? Yeah.
The problem, Rich, with this Howie Roseman interview yesterday is I think Howie and I ended up liking each other, now I don't know how to feel about it.
All right.
I'm
so glad you guys. Please keep sleeping on the Chargers.
When I say hello to you, if you can be additive, that would be appreciated.
I talked Howie Roseman.
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
There's it.
Guys, listen, when we in the media opine on things, not saying we're always, to use the Mona Lisa Vito phrase, dead on balls accurate. we're sometimes not accurate, admittedly, okay? Sometimes we're not accurate. But today, we kind of are. Now, listen, no brainer. When a team's like saying, hey, do you want Luka Doncic in a trade? And the answer is going to be,
We're listening. Go on. Whatever you want to say. Go on.
We're waiting.
Whatever you want to, what do you got in mind? The answer is going to be yes. Mm-hmm. And certainly, even if it's just like, we'll take Anthony Davis from you. Sure. You know, it's a no-brainer of no brains. It's exactly what you're supposed to do. But when it happened, many of us, including all of us here, we're like, okay, number one is the phone. What is the Mavericks malfunction? That was the general gist. What is your malfunction? What are we doing here? Because you know, Anthony Davis is great and all
famer,
but he kind of has some issues staying healthy. Charles Barkley famously nicknamed him Street Clothes. It's a tough one, but it's kind of accurate. So there's that. And then sure enough, Anthony Davis, acquired while still hurt, comes back, dominates in his first game with the Mavericks for 2.5 quarters, and then gets hurt.
Yep.
So that happened. And then the question was for the Lakers, who's going to rim protect? What's going to happen with the perimeter defense? And if somebody, let's just say, give me a for example. It's the Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
What if he blows by Luka, if Luka's on him? You know, what happens? Who's going to protect?
I'll tell you what happens.
What's your last line of defense?
You know, or let's just say you're forced to go with a small lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're forced to go with a small lineup. And who's gonna rebound? Who's gonna keep the opposing player off the board? If say just for somebody, for example, Rudy Gobert.
Okay, yeah, he's big.
Good example.
Sure enough, smash cut to last night in the downtown Hoops Dojo here in Los Angeles, California, and the Los Angeles Lakers are eliminated for the first time in franchise history as a 3 seed or better in the first round. That's never happened in the franchise's vast, lush, highly successful Tiffany of the NBA franchise. Never happened. And it happened last night. And in that game, I have it here, Rudy Gobert had 1,005 rebounds.
That was such
a record, I think.
And 1,200 offensive rebounds. Whoa. Which is a record to have more offensive rebounds than total rebounds. That's never happened before.
He broke Moses Malone's record last
night. I think you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Rudy.
All of our questions about what's going to happen
came to fruition.
Yeah, like spot on. Spot on. And once again, a playoff series ends with Luka looking like he's got a 40-year-old body. And the 40-year-old in LeBron James not having enough on his own with a hurt Luka and no rim protection and a small grouping out there to prevent anything. And lo and behold, yada, 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 at the end of the day, the Luka for Anthony Davis trade winds up with a grand total of one combined NBA playoff win for the two teams involved in the season in which the trade was made. And the amount of time we spend here and other shows spend here and the amount of print, the amount of digital stories, all of it that we've spent about it, grand total, one playoff win in the year in which it happened. And that's kind of crucial, certainly for the Lakers, because LeBron hit the big 4-0 in this season. And the conversation is, as you know, grab that. I should have told you this before the show. Grab the red hand to your right, please. Because this is what gets busted out when it's the Cowboys in football, the Yankees in baseball, and the Lakers in the NBA. The dreaded finger of blame. Who is to blame? And everybody's getting blamed today. It's either Luka's desire to get his body in shape, or it is LeBron's responsibilities that he doesn't shoulder himself. Is it him? He's just Mr. Superstar isn't enough to just shoulder it all anymore. It's potentially Rob Pelinka, the general manager, and the way that the roster was constructed, especially since the rim protecting was taken care of by acquiring Mark Williams from Charlotte, only to send him back. So even, I imagine, whichever doctor said, no, we're not going to accept this trade on behalf of the Los Angeles Lakers, there's a finger of blame pointed in that doctor's direction.
Talk to you, Dr.
Mark Williams tweeting out a smiley face last night.
Wow, really?
Because as we all know, after the trade was reversed, Mark Williams only went back to the dreadful Charlotte Hornets and damn near double-doubled every night. Very healthily, I might add.
Yo, his Instagram story was the dude who goes to the funeral just to make sure his hater was dead.
Mark Williams having a grand old time. J.J. Redick getting the finger of blame because he did not substitute a single time in the game four loss in the second half. He was asked if he consults his assistants about that sort of stuff before the game, and he said that that was a terrible assumption and got up and left the press conference prior to the game five. And then in game five, didn't play Jackson Hayes a single lick. 0 minutes for Jackson Hayes as Rudy Gobert was dominating underneath and Julius Randle was having his way and the lane was wide open. Finney Smith was the one who was trying to guard Gobert. He fouls out. And then the first picture you had up, Mr. Hoskins and Monaco, of Anthony Edwards, when I mentioned Edwards, the guy guarding Anthony Edwards, does anybody know who number 14 on the Lakers is? His name is Maxi Kleber. He came in the trade. He hasn't played since January. He was cleared from being out 40-plus games due to injury, and when Finney Smith went out, they turned to him. Redick turns to a guy who hasn't played since January. You know who also hasn't played in the NBA since January? Everyone in this room.
Me. DJ.
Mike Del Tufo.
Del Tufo.
You haven't played in the NBA since January either.
All right, good point.
Finger of blame. We're running out of we got to go to a second hand for the number of people receiving the dreaded finger of blame today for the Lakers. I mean, I don't know what Jackson Hayes did for them to tell him before the game. As he said after the game, they told him we're gonna try something else today for a DNP CD. I mean, basically, I would think at the way it was going, you know, Redick would turn around to Pelinka, who was sitting there in his awesome, cool dad leather jacket. You know, hey, Rob, turn around and is there anybody in the stands in crypto who's tall enough? Let's sign that person to a 10-day a 10-minute contract. That's what you'd think you'd have to do, but they didn't do it. Listen, I'm not there. I'm not in the practices. I'm not in the film room. And without a doubt, and I know Perk was making fun of how J.J. Redick acts like he's the smartest guy in basketball. He's definitely smarter than me when it comes to basketball. And this is what he had to say about Jackson Hayes afterwards.
Given the struggles scoring the ball, particularly early in the series, you know, there's a trade-off. There's always a trade-off. You could say, oh, play a center. We couldn't score. So there's a trade-off to everything.
That's the truth, man. They couldn't shoot threes in the fourth quarter. Austin Reeves needed to be that third guy in. even with Luka and LeBron teaming up, he didn't shoot it. And it's kind of crazy, though. I mean, they traded for Mark Williams. They could have used him last night. Yeah. Instead, he's sitting at home having a grand time with his thumb and is hitting his send button on every possible platform he could clown the Lakers on. And the guy that they wound up trading for him, but getting back, Dalton Connect. He was DNP CD'd also. Yeah. So you get the guy back, and then it's time to actually try and score the basketball. They didn't trust him for some reason either. I mean, they tightened the rotation. Gabe Vincent took the most must-make three of the Lakers' season last night with less than a minute to go, down 6 points, two threes. He took the three, not Luka, not LeBron, not Reeves, not Connect, because he was nailed. He was connected to the bench.
Not even Hachimura.
So again, who is making most of the threes?
Yeah, he had five. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's ask LeBron. Our friend Dave McMenamin of the Worldwide Leader, or pardon me, serving fans everywhere, of ESPN, whose better half, by the way, is appearing on Women's Sports Now today. Malika Andrews is the guest of Women's Sports Now on Roku. Check that out. She was here yesterday. And you could check out that episode. Now, Dave McMenamin crushed it. Question of the post-game press conference, getting the soundbite everybody's talking about today from LeBron.
Right when AD got injured, you guys started playing a lot of centerless basketball, and that required a lot from you and Doe and Rui and then Vando once he got back. Just from a physical, like, taxing standpoint, how tough was that for the last 3.5 months to play that style? And do you feel like that caught up at all in this series?
No comment. I never say that because my guy AD said what he needed, and then he was gone the following week. So I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
All right, we need a LeBron interpreter here. Windhorst isn't here to help us. No comment. Did he say that Anthony Davis was traded for speaking his mind, and that thus he would put himself on that chopping block if he speaks his mind? Because he no commented and then commented. And is he saying they shouldn't have traded for Luka? Or is he saying they shouldn't have nuked the Mark Williams trade because they did have somebody and then decided to be overly cautious when it came to bringing him in?
Yes, to all of it.
How can you say you don't trade for Luka Doncic? No matter what you say about his body and it breaks down, and the ultimate takeaway from last night is, boy, he's really got to hit that gym in the summer. He's got to show up. He's got to show up in October with a rocked up, no more dad bod for a 25-year-old, you know, which does give credence to why the Mavericks didn't want to sign him to the max. You know, but you can't sit here and say, shouldn't have done the Luka trade. I mean, if that is what he's implying.
No, I thought maybe he was implying that he just didn't really answer the question.
That's a pretty embarrassing answer for him, honestly. Like, come on, man. You're the face of the franchise. Everyone thinks you're pulling all the strings behind the scenes.
Well, clearly not.
And for you to just go, no comment, man. I'm just a regular guy out here. I put my uniform on like everybody else.
He's
like
a worker bee.
Like, that is really embarrassing.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know what he's implying. Is he implying AD said, because Anthony Davis is referring to before the trade said, hey, at the trade deadline, we need to get a center in here. Yeah. Like a bona fide center. So not everything's on him. And he could, I imagine, be free to play Anthony Davis basketball from the 3-point line all the way to the rim.
And he was right.
Okay.
They needed.
And so he's then implying, saying, hey, he said that, and then he got traded the next week. Meaning what? He got traded for speaking his mind? Because you're out of your mind if you think Rob Pelinka shouldn't receive a call from Nico Harrison underneath the radar of anybody. Say, don't tell anybody, but we're thinking of moving Luka, and the only person I'm calling is you, and the only person I want back is Anthony Davis, and you don't say, sold. Like, can we send you at least a term sheet before we hang up? Like,
that's all done on the contingent that they're going to handle the front court
now,
issues.
If that's what he's implying, that we had Mark Williams and we sent him back and all he did was dominate and look at what we've had to deal with for the last 3 months, then it seems like that finger of blame is being pointed from number 23 right at the general manager, right at the roster builder.
The question is this. Do you think if they didn't make this trade at all and still had Anthony Davis, would they have won more than a single playoff game? You have to say yes.
Certainly, you'd have to say that if they had that roster, Dalton Knecht would have gotten off the bench. Yeah.
That dude had a stretch where he was lights out.
Right.
In the middle of the season.
If you're thinking about scoring.
He just forgot how to shoot.
If you're thinking about scoring, I understand. Like, if his perimeter defense is no good, Anthony
Edwards. Had to have been better than Luka's.
Right.
Well, Luka, you got to play.
And if Anthony Davis is there, then Rudy is not turning into Wilt Chamberlain last night.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, then they would have beaten him another way.
Maybe, but AD only had 15. So you figure if you're going to hold the best player on the team.
I think they would have just beaten him another way. Because
guess
what? The
Wolves were trying to give away that game last night. They couldn't hit a broadside of a barn from the perimeter.
Right. I mean, even Julius Randle was in serious foul trouble in the first half. You know, McDaniel played. He fouled out.
Yeah, one of those guys fouled out.
You know, Naz Reid was turning down threes. Like, it was all there for the Lakers to take it last night.
Sure was. And the game before.
But you can't say they shouldn't have traded for Luka. That is just absolutely
given how
off the charts
we're
nuts.
We're absolutely playing the result.
Yes.
Given the result, no, they shouldn't have.
Okay. But
the result being they also had Alex Len, a 7-footer, on the bench. He didn't get up. They had Markieff Morris. At least maybe put a body. I understand you're saying you're trading offense. But you can't let this 7-4 guy just go in there who's not known as an offensive juggernaut. You got to put a body on this.
Crazy.
Dude. You had 7-footers on the bench doing nothing.
Crazy. Lakers, one and done. Who'd have guessed? Unbelievable. Finger of blame everywhere right here in Los Angeles today. Seeing more fingers of blame than Lakers car flags, that's for sure. We'll take a break. Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, has just zoomed in. We will chat with Chris when we come back. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community, and this May is no different. It's not just a credit union, it's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never
have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, or brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, radio audience is rejoining shortly, but we're just going to get to him right now because certainly since it's just TV only for the next 2 minutes, he's as telegenic as they come. He's Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts. Good to see you, Chris. Yeah. How are you, sir?
Good to see you. Good to see you, too. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, did you go high and tight, Chris, speaking of hair?
I did. I cut it off.
What?
I cut it off.
When?
I was catching up. I don't know. I did it after the season.
Oh, okay.
Right after the season. Then I finally shaved all that gray off my face. Do you know when I grow a beard, there is not one brown or black hair on it? Zero.
I mean, I got some right here. It's kind of funny though, Chris. I'll be honest with you. You know, when I worked on ESPN back in the day, late 90s, they did not like, kind of like the Yankees, they did not like their on-air guys to have facial hair. And one day I came back from break and I didn't shave, but I needed the makeup artist to draw my mustache to connect to my beard. And it was highly embarrassing.
Do you think they still have the same standards?
I don't.
The ESPN.
I don't think so. All I know is Keith. I've never seen Keith Olbermann. When he was there, I've never seen a guy grow a beard overnight out of spite, quite like he could. That was back in the day, man.
Look, I don't know Keith, but yeah. I admire him. I admire him greatly. He has no problem challenging authority on anything.
That is correct. Chris Battle, the Indianapolis Colts general manager here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has rejoined. So, what is your assessment of your draft just a few days later, Chris? Because I always hate my draft in fantasy as soon as I draft them. I'm wondering what it's like in real life, Chris. You know,
you're always excited when you get the players that, I mean, you have a group of, as you line this thing up, I mean, we've worked so many hours getting the board lined up the way we see it for us as the Colts. And then, you know, when you get the guys that you've, you know, done a lot of work on and they're excited to get, but I always stay sober, Rich, like. They got to come prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the one thing I love about our league. And I'll tell all our rookies when they come in, you know, next week for minicamp that, like, whether you're the first round pick or you're an undrafted free agent, the great thing about the NFL is if you perform, you're going to play. And, history and time has proven that out. So now's the excitement of the draft is over. They've had their moment and it's awesome. They've all deserved it. They've all been drafted. All right, now the honeymoon's over. Let's go to work and prove it.
Well, I got to be honest with you, man. Throughout the entire mock draft season, Chris, seeing Tyler Warren go to you at 14, every single time I saw it, I said, good luck. There's no way that kid drops 14 spots. Then he does. You have to be out of your skull happy about that one, I would imagine.
Yeah, we were excited to get him. And, you know, you never know how it's going to play out because you don't, like, what's out there versus reality is two different things. And so we kind of looked at it. And as we got, it was kind of like last year when you brilliantly, you know, said that all the quarterbacks were going to go.
I manifested this, Chris. You have no idea. I manifested this for you.
This is two years in a row. It's 2 years in a row.
It's called a streak. It's called a streak is what it is.
So, no, but we're very excited to get Tyler. We did a lot of work on him. And, you know, we think he adds an element of, you know, toughness to our offense, and then plus a big target that our offensive staff can use in multiple ways. I mean, I think that's one of the real values of him. Is he a traditional Y tight end? Yes, because he can block, but he can line out wide. He can line out in the line up in the slot. He can line up at quarterback. You can line him up in the backfield at fullback. Like, there's a lot of creative ways that you can use him that, you know, I think all of us are excited about.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his tape speaks, but you got a good story of when you met with him, that you got that sense of, you know, his dad making him wear 44, or at least suggesting you wear 44 because that's what John Riggins wore. I mean, that's the story that we heard quite a bit throughout the draft evaluation part of the calendar. You got a good Tyler Warren meet story, Chris?
It's a little like Quentin Nelson.
Yep.
They're men of few words, which I can't lie to you, I kind of like. and there's not a lot of fluff with him. When you talk to him, it's okay. What's my role? What am I, you know, what do you want me to do? I'll do whatever's best for the team. Which I think with any, when you get a player like that, that is really team oriented, it's a bonus, you know, aspect, especially in today's age where it's become a lot about me and we're losing, you know, a sense of team. And look, in this sport, you can't, like, I don't care how good you are individually. Like, you can't win without everybody else on the team, you know, performing at whatever their role is at a level that is at a winning level. So that was refreshing when we spent time with Tyler.
Chris Ballard, Indianapolis Colts general manager here on the Rich Eisen Show. Then you took this has got steel written all over it, because, again, me and a Michigan guy, I certainly circled JT Tuimoloau whenever he played for Ohio State against us. What do you like about him? You got him 45th overall.
Yeah, that was we really like JT, and like, I didn't know if there was a, like, and there was a three game run there, you know, Tennessee, Texas, and Notre Dame, where I don't think you could find a defensive player that had a better stretch of three games, and at the big moments against great competition. Mm-hmm. So we think he's got really big. I think there's still more in him. He's still young. He's still 22 years old. And we think there's still more in him. And I don't think you can ever have enough defensive ends and guys that can rush the passer, but his ability to play on all three downs, he's able to give you all, you know, both inside and outside rush. And he's a speed to power player, which I think is those guys always, you know, translate well to our league.
Yeah, 6.5 sacks in the four games of the college football playoffs. That's when you want somebody to come through, you know. And just because I'm this type of guy, Chris, I just got to be fair and balanced to myself, my inner self, as a Michigan guy. I do look forward to JT starting week one for you, because that would be the first game he plays in the home of the Big Ten championship ever. So, you know, just got him.
I'll relay. Yeah. I'm going to make sure I relay that message.
please make sure I'm further away than California than that when you do that.
Go win the national championship.
Yeah, they
That's
did.
That's okay.
And as a matter of fact, JT, I'm sure it was somebody Riley Leonard circled on the film when he was getting set to take on Ohio State for the national championship. What do you like in Riley Leonard, Chris, and what's your plan for him?
Well, I mean, look, he'll compete for the three job. We have a Jason Bean who we brought in from Kansas last year that we like. You know, look, we like Riley. We've watched a lot on him over the years. I really liked him at, I thought he really stuck out at Duke. And I think anytime a quarterback, I think if you look at the history, if they elevate a program, which I thought he really helped do it at Duke, you know, then transfers to Notre Dame and helps lead them to the national championship. He's got some unique leadership traits. There's definitely some skills to work with. And look, he's been down there working with Philip Rivers, who, you know, we have a pretty close relationship with, and Philip was raving about not only the kid, but also he thought there was more in him, you know, as a passer. So be fun for our coaches to get our hands on him, and excited to get Riley.
So what about the competition at the top of the flow chart? What can you tell Colts fans about what what it's going to look like, Daniel Jones versus Anthony Richardson, from your chair, Chris?
Look, I think competition is good for anybody. So, I have been great. Like, Connie is so he's so happy right now. I've not gone off once in the last few months, and I've cleaned up my language, and I've not said any cuss words on the air. Like, we have all right. So you just know the right questions to ask, even though that's a broad one. Mm-hmm. You're good at it. Look, competition brings out the best in everybody. And like, we're so impatient nowadays. We have zero patience with players. Like, if they're not especially the quarterback position, if they're not a superstar right away, they're a failure, which I disagree with. I mean, they've got to work through their struggles, and they have to fail, and they have to get up, and they have to get better from it. And I think we have two guys that are an example of that, that have, you know, had moments of success, but also had some struggles. So to watch both Anthony and Daniel compete against each other is going to be good for both of them. There's nothing wrong with competition. You know, in a world today where quarterbacks in college football jump at the first chance they can, if they have to compete, like, that's the wrong message for the long-term growth of them. And so competing is a good thing. Always love it, Rich. Like, this is the best. Like, always love it when we draft a guy, mm-hmm. and the agent or somebody will call me or come in if I draft somebody at a position, and they'll say, well, hey, what does that mean for my guy that's on the roster? Well, what do you mean? What does it mean? Like, he's going to compete. Like, that's the essence of what we do. So just to stamp and say, you know, competitions are, it's a great thing for everybody.
Well, listen.
Sorry for the long answer.
No, it's
and
all good.
I did not look. I composure.
Mm-hmm.
No cuss words came out of my mouth. Like, we are making freaking progress here.
Well, Chris, you also kept my audio executive on his toes. His finger was right there on the dump button. You know what I mean? Like, he was right there. So you're keeping my staff on the toes. You're making us all better, is what I'm saying. And plus, but I'm also, listen, my wife and I, we tell our kids all the time, if they don't get what they want right away, say in school or what they're trying to do for, a class election or whatever, hey, sometimes lack of success or competition is the greatest life lesson. I totally get that. You're talking to a guy that was handed a cardboard box from ESPN, 20 some odd years ago, right? But all that said, though, is we are in the results-oriented business, obviously, in the NFL. And so that's where people maybe get impatient. So my follow-up to that is how do you see it playing out? Do you see this being a training camp thing, everybody stays healthy, knock on wood, a preseason thing, Chris? Is that the way this goes, you think?
I don't have a timeline on it. I mean, when one of them, steps forward and we think he's the guy, then that's the direction we'll go. I mean, I think it will be in training camp, but we'll see how that plays out over time.
Chris Ballard here on the Rich Eisen Show. On my buddy Pat McAfee's show, the commissioner threw out an idea of maybe having only 7-minute first round selections with a 2-minute, you can use it once, a 2-minute extension of your time. Would that be cool with you, Chris? Would you be into that sort of thing?
Hey, I just fold the tacos, Rich. Just tell me what the rules are, and that's what we're going to do.
Come on now. You still have a preference, wouldn't you? Like,
whatever.
No,
if they tell us 2 minutes, we'll draft in 2 minutes. Just give me the ground. As long as everybody's playing by the same rules,
right,
then we're good. So, I don't care. I mean, whatever.
How often do you use the full 10? How often does that happen? Where you're like, I'm glad I had the full 10. We used it.
Excuse me. I can't lie to you. This year, they told us to hold the pick for 5 minutes and whatever. And I told Mike Bloom, turn it in. I don't care. Just turn the thing in. It was like 2 minutes on the clock.
Well, I mean, that certainly happens when you covered somebody like Tyler Warren and he drops in your lap. So,
yeah.
You know.
And in terms of, and like, if you've got a trade going on, But most of the time you have a lot of those details, especially in the first round, worked out if you're going to do it. And then somehow we get it done with trades in 5 minutes in later rounds. So I don't, you know, whatever they want to do, we'll do it. And as long as the rules are the same, we'll be good.
And I imagine you feel the same way if you're soon going to have to FaceTime somebody to find out, or tell them they're getting ready to be drafted because of all the craziness that just went down with the prank calling, Chris, right?
I get prank called all the time. I just don't talk about it. I mean, somehow people get my number. I get all kinds of wacky calls.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, and I'll talk to them. Like, I'll talk to them.
What?
Oh, yeah, just for fun. But no.
Give me an example.
That should not.
Seriously, give me an example. Somebody's calling you during the draft, your phone rings, and it's just some...
No, not during the draft, but other times of the year. I'm going to give you a great one.
Sure.
So I start getting these text messages from, I don't even know who it is, about 4 years ago, and I don't know the number, so I delete it. And then it pops up with another number and says, can't get rid of me. I'll delete it and block, can't get rid of me. So finally, I'm like, okay, what? And next thing I know, we're talking football for like 20 minutes in text messaging. So I get all kinds of crazy either calls or text messages during the draft that, I mean, come on, grow up.
You sure?
Grow up.
You sure that wasn't Jonathan Taylor when he's looking for a new contract, Chris? You sure that wasn't him? From a burner?
A robo. It's all the robo calls. I got it set up.
I don't know. It could have been Jim Irsay from the bus. You never know. I mean.
I promise you, I know when he calls.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, as always.
You got it. It's always a good chat with you. Congrats on your draft. Hope it works out, obviously, as well as you want. And we'll chat again soon. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
That's Chris Barrow, the GM of the Indianapolis Colts right here on the Rich Eisen Show. He cut his hair.
I didn't recognize him. I'll tell you what. Tight.
If Les Snead shows up with tight hair. An hour three, then I know the world's off its axis.
Major letdown, not going to lie, if that's the case.
Tyler Warren drops to the guy, and he's like, I don't care about 5 minutes. Put the damn pick in, 2 minutes in. And, you know, again, that's for us on television. That is for us on television. Biggest ratings the NFL draft has seen in years. And a lot of that had to do with Shador dropping. We've never had a story in the NFL draft, and not to call Shador's personal difficult ordeal. I'm sure it was for a kid to watch him drop. And it took, I'm sure those 2 days felt like 2 years. But I've never seen a draft in which somebody could be a top five pick in the eyes of some, and he winds up a fifth round pick in front of the eyes of the world. And that story, we've never had a night one storyline last all the way to day three. We've never had it. It's the first time in 22 years. And the story wasn't just football. It was people who never text me about the NFL draft saying, what is up with Shador Sanders? What is up with Deion's kid? Honestly, I got texts from people who never text me about football ever. So
really,
and this is clearly when it's on NFL Network and ESPN and ABC television. It is an important television product for the National Football League, especially when that can all go up in smoke because somebody else is tipping a pick or somebody else is not letting the drama play out for 5 minutes because they're sending their pick in too darn fast. But the commitment and the fact that it goes 10 minutes, I think the commissioner thinks it's too long. Let's shorten it up. And also that shortens the window of tips being picks being tipped.
Yeah.
Because it used to be when I started the draft, the commissioner let everyone know who's being drafted. Now the commissioner is on occasion the last person to let everyone know if you're being drafted. If you want to find out that information in the palm of your hand from somebody else's.
Yep.
Outfit when they that outfit I guarantee you if there's an outfit tipping a pick they do not have a business deal with the NFL or has no desire to have a business deal with the NFL, because that's a way to lose your business deal with the NFL, is to tip a pick in the NFL draft. And they take it so seriously, they tell each team, we don't care if the dream player that you've been waiting for is dropped in your lap, you're waiting 5 minutes to put in that card. We'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Andrew Bogish with a sports update.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Not everyone is careful with your personal information, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the U.S. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year by visiting LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by SelectQuote. Life insurance can have a huge impact on our family's future. With SelectQuote, getting covered with the right policy for you is simple and affordable. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents will tailor your experience to find a life insurance policy for your needs in as little as 15 minutes. And SelectQuote partners with carriers that provide policies for many conditions. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Go to selectquote.com/SpotifyPod today to get started.
In the middle of the season, you had, I guess, what would be somewhat of a dip, you know, where you weren't near, you're not nearly on the field as much, not nearly getting as many touches. Was there something in the middle of the season for you that required you to have a step back taken by you or your coaching staff doing that on your behalf? Was there something like that?
Yeah, and definitely, it was definitely a mindset change as well. Understanding, you know, in college, you know, you're kind of used to being on the field a ton. And coming into this league, you have a lot of elite talent around you. So understanding that you don't necessarily, you don't need to have the ball or plays called around you 100% of the time, because you have guys and men who are more than capable of playing at an elite high level. But what matters is when your number is called, will you be ready to play at a high level and make the most out of that opportunity? So once, you know, I had that mindset change of understanding that no matter when or how my number is called, be able to do my job at a high level. No matter if it's with the ball or without it, do it at a high level so that coaches and teammates are able to see, hey, Jonathan is playing really well, either when he has the ball or when he doesn't. And that's how you earn the trust of your coach's teammate.
I'm Jonathan Taylor of the Colts here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is fascinating to me because I never, you know, having watched you in the Big Ten and watched you, you know, destroy my alma mater, you know, in Michigan. And so I've watched you in games that mean a lot to me personally. And then I've watched you in games because I'm a Big Ten fan. I never thought you, Jonathan Taylor, would need to have some sort of reset or lesson about what to do when the ball's in your hand, or have some sort of proper mentality when that happens. So what are you referring to when you're saying this about your journey and getting to the point where you're ready for the playoffs at the top of your game right now? Well, I wonder what you're referring to right there.
Yeah, so a lot of times people will really may get down in the slumps. Let's say, you know, they had a bad game and they're not sure, like, man, am I really cut out for this? And I think one of the biggest things is realizing that, hey, adversity is going to come. You're here for a reason. I mean, and that's one of the biggest things that I got from my teammates is you're fine. I mean, it's just your rookie year. You're here for a reason. You need some time to adjust. I mean, it's been a crazy year, but stick with your process. You know, don't waver or change from the process that you've gone through that got you to where you're at here. You know, you're going to have a bad game. Adversity is going to happen. Only thing you can do is to continue to prepare and try to minimize the amount of negative plays or the mistakes you might have, and continue to push through, because, like, all in all, the biggest message that I got from my teammates was you're here for a reason. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Great stuff on our YouTube channel, if I may say so myself, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive of 10 plus years. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. What'd you think of Chris Ballard's 2 cents? Anybody? Bueller?
Sound like a guy who was very fortunate that the guy that he wanted dropped to him.
Right.
So
I got two cents.
And then we'll see how the quarterback situation plays out. That's obviously the biggest question mark with them.
If they put a thumb on the scale for the kid that they drafted, it's over. If they don't, Daniel Jones is the starter. It's that simple.
Yeah.
I think. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your call top of the next hour. Alex Smith will join us in the middle of hour number two. Always great when he joins us. So you just heard Chris Ballard talk about competition's a great thing, and obviously he's going to say that. And it is a great thing. I meant what I said, too, that we, you know, tell our kids at home, hey, if this didn't go your way, guess what? Do better the next time, or understand not everything's going to go your way. As I said yesterday, failure in our world, or lack of success is one way to put it also, sometimes is viewed as a sign of weakness. That's a problem. You know, but when you draft somebody, when they drafted Anthony Richardson, your hope is there doesn't need to be any competition. He's just going to come straight out of the box, or whenever he's going to start, he's going to win a lot of football games. He will not have an injury bug about him. And then on top of it, he's not going to say stuff like, you know what, I came out of the game because I was tired, or get tired, or do silly things like that. And whatever he has shown off field and whatever he has shown on field has caused the Indianapolis Colts to say this individual needs a push. And it's going to come in the form of a guy who was a first-round draft choice, number sixth overall, in his spot in New York, who wound up getting flat-out cut. Didn't want him around anymore. Let Minnesota have him. You take him, because we're done with Daniel Jones. And I heard Daniel Jones had more money on the table in Minnesota than what Chris Ballard offered him, and he took less money because if he's going to stay in Minnesota, he knows the only opportunities there is if J.J. McCarthy isn't either A, physically ready, or B, falters, and they're going to give J.J. McCarthy every opportunity to not need competition. So let's go to the spot where there's competition, and I'm being told I've got a real shot to start. There's no other way Daniel Jones shows up in Indianapolis without that assurance of there's going to be a competition, you're going to have to win it. But if you win it, job's yours. And he's like, I'll bet on myself, and I will go to a spot where Shane Steichen is going to help me RPO my way back into the status that I hoped I could get in New York when I was drafted, or get the contract and second shot success of Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Geno Smith. We can go down the list. And just to repeat what I said at the top of this segment, if they put the thumb on the scale for the kid that they drafted high, it's Anthony Richardson's job. If it's a straight up competition, I think Daniel Jones will win it because he's got more experience and he's got a skill set that so far is, based on everything you see and hear, more professional than Anthony Richardson's.
Yeah.
And if the head coach and the GM are supposedly sitting on a seat that might be a little hot, although that seat didn't appear to be very hot for Chris Ballard. He's in a very good mood. But it is, you know, May 1st.
Things can change fast.
But that's just the way I read it from my seat here in Los Angeles, that there's going to be a competition. There'll be there the OTAs, and we're going to go to training camp. And we'll see, and one of the stories of training camp nationwide will be focusing on the splitting of reps in Indianapolis. The splitting of reps will be a big story in Cleveland, right? Mm. Where else are we talking about splitting of reps?
New Orleans.
I don't think there will be one in Pittsburgh because Rodgers will get them.
Most likely, we're assuming.
I know that, right? Giants, will you talk about splitting of reps for the Giants between the two vets?
I think Daboll kind of squashed that.
Right. Where else we talk about splitting
of
reps?
But if Russ is pushing sleds, then maybe,
I think they're going to keep him away from the sleds in New Jersey.
Dart gets in there.
Yeah. So the only sled he'll be pushing is for one of his kids in November or December.
Yeah, not a lot.
That's what I'm saying. So Indianapolis will be a big fat spotlight on the number of reps being split in training camp. And then we'll, you know, Daniel Jones will get a preseason start. Anthony Richardson will get a preseason start. Then there'll be a third preseason game where neither of them play because it's too close. And then they'll call it close to the vet. I bet you it'll go up to week one. We're not telling. We'll find out May 14th who's going to be on the business end of, why would we tell them what we're going to do? Why would we tell them what our plans are? How's that for my prediction of how it's going to play out for Indianapolis?
Seems accurate.
And then again, just apples to apples, somebody who's got all this experience with the Giants and the NFC East and all the and playoff experience. Don't forget that one playoff game against Minnesota is what got a long-term contract for Daniel Jones. That and the fact that they couldn't figure out a number with Saquon, which is, as you know, a whole different story. But that's why I think Daniel Jones, apples to apples, is going to win that job in Indianapolis. But again, first day of May. Hour number two, Alex Smith coming up, and then Les Snead of the Rams and the actress Patricia Clarkson in studio hour three.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.